records the Lord's command to celebrate the Passover and the movement and encampment of the Israelites according to the movement of the cloud over the tabernacle. So let's take a look at the first three verses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, ye shall keep it.
So this is the second year. In other words, they've been out of Egypt for a year, is what he's saying, okay? And so the first month, remember that, the beginning of the year for them, okay, when the initial Passover. Now then, the second year, the Lord tells Moses, you have them to keep the Passover. And he's and there at this time, encamped in the wilderness of Sinai, and the word, different translations translate that word differently. Some say desert, some plain. Wilderness is just simply a place that is not inhabited, is still in its, I guess you could say, natural habitat, and the conditions haven't changed. So they're in an area where nobody lives. That's where they've been camped. And so the Lord says, all right, I want you to celebrate the Passover here in this particular place.
And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel.
See, that's a set ordinance. We're not to just keep it when they wanted to, but on the 14th day of the first month, at twilight or in the evening. And if you remember, their days started from evening to morning, evening to morning. Okay? And so they were to celebrate it at the evening or the twilight of that first month. So, and just actually following the instructions that God gave Moses. I can't overemphasize the number of times that it says, as the Lord instructed Moses. Because you can read all this and you can and say, Moses did this, Moses did this, Moses did this. Moses just obeyed God. And so that's the important thing you have to see in this. It's not that Moses is coming up with these rules, these regulations, these statutes, these ordinances on his own. God has given him these instructions, and he's following the instructions, which is really a principle and an example to us today that we're to get our instructions from God and follow God's instructions, not come up with our own plan, doing our own thing, our own way. That's what's problem. That's the biggest problem with churches today, ministers today. They don't want to wait on the Lord. They don't want to get the instructions from the Lord. And you can do your thing, but it'll cost you in the end.
Mm-hmm. In verse 6, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man, wherefore are we kept back? That we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you.
So these men have been defiled by a human corpse. In other words, they've touched the dead, therefore they're unclean. We'll be unclean that day, you understand, because the twilight started at evening, And so it'll be the next evening before they can meet all the qualifications. And so they come before Moses and ask him, well, why can't we partake of the Passover? And Moses didn't have an immediate answer. When they say what prohibits us, so he said, you just wait and let me inquire of the Lord concerning this situation. So I said, that's wisdom.
Yeah.
When you don't know, don't fake it. Don't just come up with your own ideas and opinions, but get your answer from the Lord. And so that's exactly what Moses did. And then the Lord told Moses to tell the Israelites. In other words, this situation now brought forth an ordinance for the nation in days ahead, for every generation in the future. And so he says, if someone becomes unclean by a corpse, or if someone is on a journey and they're far away so they can't keep the Passover, they will be permitted to keep the Passover at a different time, which mm-hmm. is interesting. Okay?
I really like that phrase, stand still. And for so many of us, that is so difficult to do, just to stand still and wait for direction from the Lord. Too many times we want to move ahead, and I appreciate the example that Moses sets for us. We've seen this on more than one occasion. I need direction from the Lord to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. That's a great example for us to follow. But too many times we're in such a hurry, we don't look before we leap.
I've had people to say to me, do something if it's wrong. And I've got an answer for that. Well, that'd be foolish. I said, why would I want to do something if it's wrong? What I need to do is find out what to do. Now, a lot of people over the years have been disenchanted with me because I don't move as fast as they want me to move. And I'm not blind. I can see things. But you, just because you see something doesn't mean that you attack something. You get your direction from God. You just can't. If you don't get your direction from God, you're dealing with flesh by the flesh. Mm-hmm. That's a loser any way you want to look at it. And so you can't afford to allow people to get you into that arena. You wait. Wait on the Lord. Get your direction from the Lord. And then once you get your direction from the Lord, don't concern yourself with what people think. Mm-hmm. You do what God says and then let the chips fall where they may, because it wasn't your decision, it was God's decision. So Moses didn't just flippantly come up with, well, I think we'll do it this way. No, he says, you stand still, you wait. Let's get direction from God. Let's see what God has to say about this. And so what God has to say doesn't just affect the immediate problem, but what God has to say is going to set a standard in the future where anybody that falls in this category will have an answer of what they're to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Now, Pete talked about verses 9 and 10. I'm going to go back and look at it. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord.
And you can't stop reading there.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop reading there, it sounds like they can go ahead and take the Passover right now.
Right.
You have to keep Scripture in context, okay?
The 14th day of the second month at even they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it.
So God wants you clean.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, all right, I'll make a provision. The second month, on the 14th day of the month, you'll be allowed to take the Passover if you couldn't take it at the regular time. He didn't change the date. He just made a provision. See, this is the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
God is absolutely incredible in the way he covers all the bases. His grace is extended to everyone. God's not just going to say, tough luck, buddy. That's not the way he is. When the heart's right before God, God's looking at the heart. He knows that. So he says, all right, we'll make a provision for you. 14th day of the second month. You still have to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Okay. And this was a big deal, because if you did not participate in Passover,
we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You would be cut off.
You're cut off.
But I appreciate that. To me, here's what the Lord's saying. Keep me in remembrance. I want you to keep me in remembrance. Don't forget what I've done for you. I've taken you out of a land of bondage. I have spared your lives. Passover was a celebration of life.
Go ahead and read the verse.
13.
You already made your statement.
But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul, that's right, here it is, shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin.
Okay, now, you've got to get the understanding of what all this means. Number one, we're dealing with type. The Passover was pointing to. And so to understand what it's pointing to, you need to understand the Passover first off. Okay? So if you're going to speak metaphorically, people need to understand what you're talking about, all right?
Right.
And so this Passover prevented the firstborn from dying. In other words, the death angel passed over. That's why it's called Passover, okay? The death angel passed over those who followed the proper protocol. Now, the protocol, we know, was that they had to kill the lamb, put the blood over the doorpost, the side post of the lintel and the side post of the dwelling, and they could not go out of that. You had to stay behind the blood, so to speak, okay, mm-hmm. to prevent death. Now, this is pointing to Jesus. The scriptures say Jesus is our Passover. Mm-hmm. Okay? And for all those that think there's another way, you're deceived. Jesus is the only way. He even states that. Okay? And so this is pointing to Jesus. And so a person who does not keep the Passover is actually marring the type. They're not honoring what it's pointing to. And if you don't keep the Passover with Jesus, in other words, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you abide in death. And when you're in death, you're cut off. You don't have any access to the Father except through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other way. Okay? And so if you don't honor the Passover and accept the Passover and do it God's way, you're cut off. You're cut off. And so that was a very serious thing. This is not just some a holiday I'll celebrate if I want to, and if I don't, I won't. No, this is one you'd better celebrate. You know, God is the one that set the festivals, the seven festivals for Israel. Three of those were mandatory for the males. They had to travel to Jerusalem, as a matter of fact. Passover's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is mandatory. If the blood's not applied, you're cut off. You're in trouble.
Yeah. That is good. Verse 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land.
Stranger is foreigner. In other words, one who was not a citizen of the country, born in another country. If he comes to abide in that place, to dwell, take up residence, then he will abide by the same laws that the citizen abides by. There's not a double standard. You understand? We need to get a revelation of that in this nation. There's one law, one ordinance, and it covers every individual. I don't care what your position is, high or low, there's one law. Even God abides by his own rules. He doesn't live by a different standard than he tells you to live by. God will bring himself into accountability. So a foreigner in the land was required to keep the Passover, or he's cut off. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the way I look at it as far as this nation goes and as far as people coming in. If you want to come into this nation and you want to better yourself, then you're welcome if you honor our God and you follow our laws. Otherwise, go back where you came from. If where you were was so good and all that was so good over there, why do you want to come here? No, the reason you want to come in here is because of the God who's blessed the land. Now honor this God.
Mm-hmm.
You with me? We need to set our foot down on some stuff to where we have one law that applies to everybody. Amen. And I will declare to you Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God, Jehovah God, is the God of this nation.
Mm-hmm.
He founded it. We could credit forefathers, but what did they use? They set our constitution following the pattern of the commandments, you understand? And if you read some of the personal letters of especially George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and other founding fathers, there's no question in anybody's mind, there can't be, of who God is. Creator God. There's only one Creator God. There's only one self-existent God. All the other gods, little g, have been made by someone else. No one made the God I serve. He created what you see. Amen. Now you know how I feel about that. Unless I'm sticking to it. Because it's true. Okay?
We think about our pledge. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One nation, under God. The issue is, and when we start bringing in all these other gods, now we're divisible. You see how polarized we're divided because we've forgotten. Romaine and I were just upstairs looking at Leviticus, looking at all the blessings that would ensue if the Israelites would remember, serve me as your one true God, listen to my commandments, obey my statutes, walk in my ways. Then you'll be blessed. So absolutely, one nation under God. Jesus Christ is Lord.
You understand when Israel came out of Egypt that God passed judgment on not only of the nation of Israel, I mean Egypt, but on their gods.
Oh yeah.
You read it, it's in your Bible, that he executed judgment on their gods. And he told the nation of Israel, when you go into the land that I give you, you destroy their gods. Don't study them. Don't try to find out how they worship their God. You do away with their gods. And if you go in and you take us, I'm paraphrasing now, okay? If you go in and you take a city and or a territory and they have made these idols out of gold or silver, don't you covet the gold or silver. Destroy it. It's desecrated. You understand? Don't talk about how valuable gold is and silver is. Talk about how detrimental worshiping a false idol is. Better get things in proper perspective. Mm-hmm. Too many people are worshiping the god of gold and silver, does that?
No. Verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning.
So once the tabernacle set up, is consecrated, dedicated, and ready for use, then the glory of the Lord appears, okay? And this cloud covers this tent where the testimony box, which is, King James calls the Ark of the Covenant, okay? Actually, if you look at the Hebrew, it just says box. If you look at mercy seat, it says lid. It's a box with a lid, okay? But contained in that box was God's covenant with the nation of Israel. And then God chose to use that for the nation of Israel as a symbolism of his presence. That's where he spoke to Moses from between the cherubim and what we call the mercy seat, okay? And so this cloud covered this tent, the tent of meeting, during the day, and it remained there. Then at night, it appeared as a pillar of fire. That picture right there, does that show the cloud over the tent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You imagine the awesomeness of this. The cloud by day and fire by night. It's miraculous.
You'd think that would have your attention, right?
Yeah.
But let me show you something. You can get accustomed to the presence of God to the point you don't respect the presence of God. And that's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. Every day you see the cloud. Every night you see the pillar of fire. And then you can get the attitude, same old, big deal, whatever. Not recognizing the magnificence of God and the message that's conveying. God's in our midst. God's in our midst. And I'm telling you, go into average church service and people are not conscious. Even if the presence of God is there, most of them, the presence of God is not there because they don't invite him in. But if the presence of God's there, people are unaware. And they treat the sanctuary with such disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
And the sanctuary is just that. I mean, that's a place, that's God's place. You know, we're here to put our attention on God. We're not here to socialize. This is about God. This is not about being pleased. This is not about stroking my flesh. This is about serving God, giving honor to God. This is where we'll learn from God. We'll let God speak to us.
He even told the Israelites, when we reread it in Leviticus, reverence my sanctuary. Respect it. Pay attention.
That's sort of a sore spot with me. I know when we got this building, I talked to the Lord about this building, and I mean, you know, you have your formal ceremonies and all this, but I dedicated this building, just God in me. You understand? This is the house that God has chosen to place His name on. And so this is your sanctuary. And I can tell you, you know, I'm here every day. But when I walk up into that sanctuary, it's not like walking in this classroom. It's not like walking in my office. I conduct myself differently in that sanctuary than I will in my office. I respect that. I wouldn't think about taking food and drink up there. And that's God's place. I'm not there to feed my flesh. I'm there to feed my spirit. You understand? And I was invited to a conference, a prophetic conference, okay? I'll just tell you what it was. And in a different city, whole different setting, okay? I walk in, and I'm thinking I'm there. I want to learn some things. I'm observing. I'm not gullible, but I'm observing. And I have flags up on stuff like that. I'll just be fair with you, okay? Because I've seen too much crazy stuff. I walk in, and the way the people were dressed bothered me. So disrespectful. And then they had the McDonald's meals there by their chairs, you know, while the speaker's speaking, they're eating. And I'm thinking, man, there's something wrong with this picture. You're not going to hear the spirit feeding the flesh. You can take that to the bank. If you're going to hear the Spirit, you're going to give the Spirit of God your undivided attention. Okay? And then we won't even talk about the rest of it, but I learned some stuff in there. That not everyone that says they're a prophet's a prophet. And not every word that people speak is God speaking. You understand? And manipulating things. And trying to pull a person into an emotional arena. If I get you in an emotional arena, then I can handle you. I can manipulate you. I can make you think that I'm somebody, you know, and tell you that I'm the mouthpiece of God. You better learn to judge the word that's coming forth. The person's not your servant, but the message that he's carrying, you better set a watch at your heart as to whether that comes in or not. You don't listen to what God's not saying. Oh, pardon me, you don't listen. Yeah, when God's not speaking and it's coming out of a man's heart, don't receive it. You shut it off. And there's so much of that goes on. It's a disrespect to the sanctuary of God. You're misrepresenting God in the sanctuary. And there's a lot of misrepresentation of God in the sanctuary. That's an awesome place to me. I'm going to tell you, I have a healthy but awesome fear of God. I don't want to miss God. You understand? And I want to give Him the honor and the glory that He's due. And I definitely want to respect Him. I don't call God daddy. He's my father for whom I bow before. Not jumping up on his lap where thunders and lightnings and all this are proceeding out of his throne. That's a fearful thing. And I'm going to tell you this, if you've ever been in the presence of God, if you've ever had an encounter with God, you'll change your thinking. I've had the presence of God to fill the room. I'm afraid to open my eyes. I mean, it's so awesome. You understand? You better fear and revere God, bow before Him. As you realize, you are nothing compared to Him. Okay? And so honor the sanctuary. They would honor the sanctuary. God's presence is on that place. You know, the sanctuary is a safe place. It should be a safe place for God. Not all this other activity taking place. And a lot of it, I believe you'll see a lot of familiar spirits operating in the sanctuary of God under the guise of gifts of the Spirit.
Mm.
And if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, you'll fall for it because Satan is a master of deception. You better know the Word of God, and you better know the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you'll fall for that angel of light as he appears. Okay? Respect the sanctuary. Respect the sanctuary. You're awesome in this place, mighty God. That's more than words. That is a profound statement.
Yeah.
Okay? And make yourself aware of that. Just make yourself aware when you walk in. You know, I like to walk in and know that this is God's place. I mean, so often this the habit, if you want to call it that, but a good habit. And I just say, Lord, this is yours. You did it all. You named it. You brought it into existence. And I don't want to mess it up. But I want to cooperate with you fully to where we do what you want, your way, in the timing you want. You understand? So you better follow the instructions, and you don't follow them if you don't listen to them. Be still and know that I'm God. That's what he says. Yeah.
Amen. So that 16th verse, so it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents.
Okay. This is a type. Remember, everything that we're going through in this Pentateuch, we're looking at type. We're not looking at the substance itself, okay? We're looking at what it's pointing to. The Old Testament, it's just like a finger pointing. He's coming. He's coming. We're going to give you a natural example, but he's going to give you the real deal, and it'll be spiritual. You understand?
Yeah.
And so the cloud is symbolic of the Holy Spirit being led by the Spirit of God. So we're told not to be led by a cloud. The Old Testament here, they're told you follow the cloud. We're told to be led by the Spirit. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you won't be fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You won't be thinking about what the flesh wants. You'll be thinking about what God wants. And so this just simply means when the Spirit of God is directing, follow his lead. Don't lead him. He won't follow you. You follow his lead. You understand? And if you think about it, even with the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd leads. He does not follow the sheep. He walks out and goes before them. And if you'll follow the Spirit of God, he will take you where you need to be, not necessarily where you want to be. But when it's all said and done, you'll find that it was in your best interest. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
In that 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But listen to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, he may lead you through the valley. Okay? But he's leading you. He's there. You with me? That may not have been where you wanted to go, but it's where you need to go to get to where he wants you. The Israelites weren't happy when they came up to the Red Sea. But they needed to get up to the Red Sea and go across the Red Sea and allow God to use the Red Sea to destroy their enemy. And a lot of times we don't realize what God's doing. See, He sees the end from the beginning. We're looking through tunnel vision. All we can see is right now. And so we want to judge everything off of right now. We want to judge everything off of the natural. No, listen to the Spirit of God. God knows where I need to be. God knows when I need to be there. You understand? I've had Him to deal with me on trips to go. I didn't want to go. But then you have a fear of God that you're afraid not to go because you don't want to miss God. And if I go on a trip, I don't want it to be because it's inviting. I'm going to get to go here. I want to go because God said go. I'm not interested in touring and all this kind of stuff. If I go, it's to minister. Amen? It's not on the flesh. It's not about the flesh. It's about the Spirit of God. Amen? All right, my time's up. I'm going to have to stop here.